The 13. And it's very simple. Kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. Okay. These few words really render this mitzvah to be unique in Kol HaTorah Kula. Can you hear it? Just a few words. Kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. This would be different than all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Why?
Because it applies specifically to a non-Jew.
Yeah, so what mitzvah of the Torah is given to non-Jews? The mitzvahs are given to the Jews. Is this one of the Sheva mitzvahs B'nei Noach? Never heard this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says we expect all B'nei Noach not to kill, not to steal, not to eat every minachai, etc., etc. And we are obligated to make sure that they keep their mitzvahs. It's our... We will be over on Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol if we're responsible for a Gentile violating one of his seven mitzvahs. Right?
Right.
So the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah talks about all the things we don't do so that a Gentile doesn't violate one of his mitzvahs.
Right.
So what is this called Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo? Where does the Torah give mitzvahs to Gentiles? The seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach is we're supposed to try to make sure that that's what they keep.
All right, so the chinuch has a different title for this mitzvah.
So this is where we move now first into onkelos. Take a look at Targum onkelos on the first page. You see it? I underlined called Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo. And onkelos reads amazingly, he says, Kol Bar Yisrael de Yishtamar lo yechol be. So Kol Ben Nechar is like Ben Shenisna Ker Ma'asav. Look at Rashi. That's what he writes. Right? Shenisna Kru Ma'asav lo Aviv Sheba Shamayim. Ve Echad Ovid Kochavim, Ve Echad Yisrael Mumar B'mashma. Rashi is like saying, "In mikor yitzim de pshuto." Come on, it says "kol ben nechor." Since when is a Jew who violates the Torah called a ben nechor? And surely we are interested that even a mumer Jew, the Torah is still shayach to that person.
Not only that, one of the four sons at the Seder is the Rasha.
Right. So we're going to discuss what kind of mumer this is possibly talking about. Okay.
And it's obviously not talking about the Russia, though, that we're referring to at the Seder, right? Because he's at the Seder.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they didn't give him the Korban Pesach.
But it says, Hakeyas Shinav. You have some of Farshim to the Haggadah that say Hakeyas Shinav means don't let him eat the Korban Pesach.
Uh-huh.
I think Howard was just saying that.
Yes.
Yeah, So that's the question of what kind of mumer is this, and is there some kind of tshuva for being this mumer, right? So let's take a look at first at the Torah Tmima. So we did the onkelos, we did Rashi. Let's take a look. Did you see the Torah Tmima on the front page? It says Kol Ben Nechar. So first he cites the Mechilta. Echad Yisrael mumer ve'echad ovi kochavim b'mashma. Shneimar Kol Ben Nechar. Aral Lev. Okay, that's a pasuk in Yecheskel. And Yecheskel is talking about Jews in that parak. So the Aral Lev, the one who has an uncircumcised heart, he calls a Ben Nechar, and that's a Jew. So Ben Nechar can refer in Pshat, okay, it's talking about a Gentile, right? But it's also fundamentally talking about a Jew who is a mumer. We obviously have to define what that is. Right. So now it says Kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. Right. We're talking about the Korban Pesach. So what do we have to say bo? So there's all kinds of drushes, Aaron, that you remember from Maseches Pesachim. Right. Kol ben nechor lo yochal bo aval ochel b'matzah maror. Kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. So here the Gemara Pesachim in the last parak darshins. Ein li ela b'pesach Mitzrayim, b'pesach doros minayin, Talmud lomar, v'avadato ha-sabada hazos b'chodesh hazeh, shiu kol avados ha-chodesh hazeh kozeh. Okay. All right. So that's not so much nogea to what we're doing, but the next rasha is, lo yuchal bo. Ma tamud lomar bo. In other words, the Medrash is asking, it says, zos chukas ha-posach, kol ben echar, lo yuchal. We know what we're talking about. Why do you have to say lo yuchal bo? So the Medrash answers, bo hamoras das poseles. Ve'ein hamoras das poseles betruma. Okay, it's a mute. A ben nechar can't eat the korban pesach, but a ben nechar can eat some other holy foods. Okay, fine. I might not have known that, but now we have what this gemara in Pesachim gave us is a new terminology, because up to now we were dealing with the word mumar. A mumar is a heretic. Here it says hamoras das. That seems to go a little further.
Right.
You know, a heretic is someone who doesn't believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim, who doesn't believe in the Rambam. The Rambam says anyone who denies any one of these 13 principles of faith is a mumar. But a hamoras das, that's already someone who converts. That's bigger. Right?
That's an apostate. Right.
Apostate. That goes well beyond this. The Minchas Chinuch discusses, what about the Machal Shabbos Befer Hesia? Because the Gemara in Cholin and the Rambam says that person, Dino Ka'akum L'chol Davar. Dino Ka'akum L'chol Davar. The Minchas Chinuch, by the way, when this shows up in Hilchos Shabbos, he has a very long treatise on Hilchos Shabbos. I don't know how we're going to treat that in 1 week. But he says that when the Rambam says that Dino Ka'akum L'chol Dvarav, Gemara in Cholin Daf Hei, that says that Avodah Zarah and violation of Shabbos goes to the core of Judaism. So if someone violates those mitzvahs, they have like a din of a Gentile. But the Minchas Chinuch says that's for only three of the four books of the Shulchan Aruch. Orach Chaim, yes, he's a goy for Orach Chaim. Give me an example. You're not allowed to cook for him on Yontif. You're only allowed to cook for Jews on Yontif. So you're not allowed to cook for a mummer, now we're going to see different types of mummers. There's a mummer lahachis, there's a mummer lateavon, but someone who our mummer here, whatever this guy is, well, we're going to still have to translate and work out.
By the way, is that how we do it now? You're not allowed to cook for non-Jew on Yontif?
You're jumping the gun. That's on page 5. Okay, we're still on page 5.
No, because I'm saying, like if you have a maid or you have someone that sleeps over and you're cooking and they eat from that, is that a problem?
So I'll remind me to answer that question when it comes up, because it does come up. All right? But the strict halacha and Shulchan Aruch, and Robbie, while you're here, we'll say the names at the end, okay? Prepare the names, okay? So that's Orach Chaim. In Chosh and Mishpat, the halacha is that you don't have to return the lost article of someone who is a mummer, our mummer, because he's not Jewish. You're a daya. You're allowed to charge interest to a mummer, just like you're allowed to charge interest to a Gentile, but not for Evan HaEzer. His body is still the body of a Jew. If he wanted to do tshuva, he wouldn't have to have a tofas dam bris. He wouldn't have to go to the mikveh again. You hear what I'm saying? If he's married, his wife now isn't all of a sudden married to someone who's not Jewish, she would need a get from him, right? You get the point? So this is the definition. The Minchas Chinuch wants to know, does this include a Machal Shabbos Befer Hesia? Since the Gemara in Chulin and the Rambam equate that with someone who is an idolater, worships Avodah Zarah. So far we've had two definitions, the mummer and
when we say things like Machal Shabbos Befer Hesia, we're talking about a certain context, a certain social context. We're not talking about like today where, you know, people may not have been raised
Absolutely. That's also coming up. That's part of what Robbie was asking.
By the way, when you talk about Machal Shabbos, is there certain things that they have to be Machal Shabbos? For instance, someone carries on Shabbos and there's no Erev. Is that Machal Shabbos, or I mean, what constitutes Mechalal Shabbos?
Well, it's all coming up. If the four tshuvas that I have on page 4 and 5 do not satisfy you, please make sure to point it out to me.
I'm not easily satisfied.
I'm well aware of that by now.
Is very impatient. Very impatient.
Okay. Can anyone guess why I put page 2 here? It's the end of Divrei Hayamim. The end of Divrei Hayamim Bet, and it tells the story of, remember, there were 55 years of mamash polytheism in Israel under Menashe. Right, there were some years where even he did some tshuva. His son Amon also was a Obed Avodah Zarah. And then the grandson, Yoshiyahu, who started ruling at the age of 8, brought some very, very important and serious reforms to Israel. And part of those reforms was the observance of the Korban Pesach. And in the story, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but please read it if you want in the English, the Hebrew. It tells the story of all these idolaters. They were just worshiping idolatry, and now they're bringing the Korban Pesach. There's a whole nation of recent idolaters, so much so that they didn't recognize the Sefer Torah that they found, right? So you know, everyone know the story I'm talking about here, right? Okay, they found a Sefer in the Heichal, and it caused a big uproar, but most people didn't know what it was about, right? And they observed the Korban Pesach, even though they were just recently idolaters. So it seems that, in the very least, I have a nice story in the Bible that proves that this mummer that we're talking about does have the opportunity to turn things around. So, Robbie, here's where we start to see the sources. Page 3. Is there a time where Ve'ahavta l'rechaka kamocha is suspended? And the answer is very clearly yes. The Rambam, in his mitzvah number 17, says there is a mitzvah. You're not allowed to love here he calls him a mesit. This guy is worse than a mummer. He helps other people become mummers. He's machmetes, you know, right? He makes other people chametz, all right. So it says, don't have any rachamim on this person, all right. So there are some Jews that we're supposed to hate. Okay, I'll say it out loud. There you go. And the Rambam writes this in Hilchos Mamrim. Aval b'nei ha'toim ha'ele u'v'nei b'neihem shehidichu osam. You see source number 10. Aval sam v'noldu ben ha'karoim. He calls them the Karaites. The gadlu osam al datam, harehu ketinok shenishba. But the people who were just raised into this, so they were born into it, they don't know better. So you don't have a mitzvah to hate them, right? But in his Akdama to Perek Chelek, source number 11, the Rambam writes unequivocally that if you deny any of these 13 principles of faith that we sort of have codified poetically in Yigdal, so that person is a heretic, and it's right. Halom misanacha Hashem esno. I hate those who hate you, God. All right, and it's codified in source number 12 and 13 in the Shulchan Aruch as well. But as far as Aaron's question and Robbie's question, this is where Robbie. Now you can look at these sources. So these are four sources that appear in the middle of the 19th century into the middle of the 20th century. The earliest one is Rav Jacob Ettlinger. You've heard of him. He's known as the Aruch Lener. He wrote a Tshuvas Sefer, which is very avant-garde Tshuvas, called Binyan Tzion. He's Jenny Michael's great-grandfather, directly.
Wow.
And she and her family helped to publish this Shilas HaTshuvas, a new scholarly edition of it. And in one of the Tshuvas, he discusses why in Germany in the 1850s, 1860s, he thinks that this category of the Rambam that says, Dino ke'akum l'chol davar, of the Mechal Shabbos b'far Hesya, and Rabbi, your answer is that it has to be that it's l'haches. Everyone else is going to shul, and he keeps his gas station open right across the street from shul. And he's busy in his overalls fixing cars right in front of shul. I mean, it's like you know what I'm saying? It's like ba'azus panim. It's biyad ramah in
your face.
Shlach.
In your face, right?
Right. So that's what it is. He argues the following. Because in the time of the Rambam, to keep your store open on Shabbos and to openly violate Shabbos was such a trespass. It showed that you cared not one iota of your standing in the community. So that person deserves to get what he wants. He doesn't want to be in the community. He doesn't get to the benefits of the community. But today in Germany, he says, this is an argument that's found in Rav David Zvi Hoffman as well. Today in Germany, it's no longer it's not a nisayon. He's not doing this lahachis. He's doing because everyone else is, right? He and Rav David Zvi Hoffman said it's the norm is for the Jews to keep their stores open on Shabbos, and the children are raised that way. Okay, so he writes. I'm translating in English. Though they desecrate the Sabbath, they're not considered as heretics because they are merely continuing the ways of their fathers, as the Rambam wrote in the halacha we just said. Okay. Rav Avraham Yitzchok Kook gave a fascinating raya from a Tosfos in Gittin. Tosfos in Gittin tells actually a story that took place in their time in France about a man who was called on to testify that a woman was free to remarry because he saw that the husband died. And he was a lone witness. Usually you need two witnesses, but we learned in Maseches Yevamos that takonas igun, you can have less than the necessary testimony in order to free a woman from igun. It was, however, discovered, says Tosfos, that this man was carrying on a tarid affair with a Gentile woman in town.
How did it, just out of curiosity, how does Tosfos write that? How is that put in Tosfos?
He calls it a shifcha bisha,
huh?
The bad shifcha, as okay. If though she was, she. I couldn't imagine that a Jewish man would be goading a Gentile woman to be doing that.
Got
he calls it a shifcha bisha, and Rav Kook uses this svara as, and I don't love this Tosfos because, you know, you're going to say this for everybody. Right? Everybody deserves that benefit of the doubt. I think Tosfos had a much bigger fish to fry than judging this man favorably. The fish to fry was to free that aguna.
Right.
And this was the only chance to do it. So he had to find some kind of redeeming quality to what this man was doing. He absolutely behaved in a way which made him pasul eidus, which disqualified him to testify. But they accepted his eidus because they felt that he wasn't acting with free will when making a judgment about whether what he was doing was right or wrong.
It's never the case.
Rashi dealt with issues of Jacob Katz talks about it. There's a book called by Jacob Katz, Exclusiveness and Tolerance, where he talks about Rashi dealt with the sort of people who would marry out and then try to come back or came back into the church.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yes.
Fascinating. Just
very
fascinating.
Nice. Yes. Yes, that's right. And Rashi, by the way, that made it into the Rashi, you know, there's a Rashi animated film. You ever see it? Leonard Nimoy playing Rashi.
I have it
at home. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. It's fascinating. It's very well done. They have one on the Rambam too. That
I
makes it
more logical than Rashi though, but anyhow.
It's the thing that Rabbi Wein did something like an animated.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's Rabbi Wein.
But it's a fantastic, I mean, Jacob Katz is a great historian, but it's a fantastic book. It's very
fun. Yeah, but it also is very learning.
That story made it into the into that little film. I just, you know, in case you want to see it. So he claimed that the people who did it, and by the way, it was also in the Chuvas about the Spanish Jews who converted and they wanted to come back. You know, there's some claim that the Kol Nidre was for them, and then that's nonsense. Kol Nidre was well long before the Spanish Inquisition. So David Zvi Hoffman gets in on this also. He says most Jews have breached the fence. Their failing turns to their advantage. The individual thinks that is not much of an offense, right? And one need not commit it only in private. On the contrary, in our day, the observant are called these separatists. It is the sinners who go the way of the land. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's David Zvi Hoffman.
No, but the Breuer community were, you know, Hirsch, they were separatists. They wanted to be separately registered with the government as a not part of the Jewish community. They want to have their own, yeah, own community. So some
actually the Austrian, you know, that, yeah, a big program going on then. Yeah,
Bradley, how does this relate though? Where is the limit of? I mean, very similar to Tinoch Shanishba, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these people are, many of them, presumably, and certainly today, many of them aren't Tinoch Shanishba. They know. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So I would say that with your category that you're describing now is known in Chazal as a Shana of a Parish. Sound familiar? Shana of a Parish. He's learned Shana, like the
Shana. Right, right. Parish,
and
he left. Yeah.
And he went away.
Jerry's talking about a Parish for Shana, though, right?
Yeah. Now, but these people know nothing. I mean, literally.
No, but they know more now. But
they don't. I mean, there are no afternoon Hebrew schools. None. No conservative or reform. No afternoon Hebrew schools. They don't exist.
No, I'm telling. I know some of them who really do know. Anyhow, yeah. Go, Rabbi. What's the
so David Zvi Hoffman's point is that the Rambam's category that he describes from the Gemara in Chulin just doesn't exist in our day anymore. This is 1870, 1880.
Right.
But let me give you the Chazon Ish, which is on page 5 in the middle of the page. He says something amazing. He says that in his opinion, we can't hate them anymore because they're Machal Shabbos B'Per Hesia, because we have not done a good enough job of showing them the geschmackkeit of Shabbos and Torah.
Is this where he talks about bringing them back with ropes of love, the expression
yes.
of love?
That's
this the famous expression.
The Chazanish, yes, this is the tshuva, that's it. So Yoridea, Chelik Beis, to Simon Ted Zion.
Right, we have to bring them back with ropes of love, he says.
It's amazing. So he says it's our fault. Because if we knew better how to makariv them, then they wouldn't leave this way. Who in his right mind? You have to be insane, right? Geschmackkeit, is that a word? Thank you, Charles. Yes. I think that your name is an acronym of geschmackkeit, it looks to me. An anagram, I mean. No, you just need a G. Anyway, it means that something so sweet. Who has the sweetness of Shabbos and has it available and would choose to defy it and deny it? Anyway, that's why the Chazon Ish thinks that doesn't exist. And of course, very famously, number 18 is the Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin, where he says that. The Gemara says that you can force a man to divorce his wife. Kofin oso achi omarotzani. So the Rambam says, what are you talking about? It's so obvious that he's only giving the get because he doesn't want to have his arms broken. So how is this rotzani? So the Rambam says, no, he really wants to give this get. Every Jew wants to keep Shabbos. It's just that the sinister side of him took over the dexter side. He didn't realize how to worship Hashem with both Yetzers. He's only worshiping with one. In other words, he got lost. Something got lost in him. But that's the famous Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin. Right? He's not an onus. Yitzro hu shetakafo. Kevin shu ka shetoshesh yitzro. Right? So he really wants to do the right thing. He wants to listen to the rabbis. He wants to listen to the Torah. Okay? Robbie, have you seen from these tshuvas an answer?
Not about whether you can make food for a maid.
Yeah, okay, so let's answer that. And I must tell you, this is the answer I worked out with the Rosh Kollel, Rav Bloomberg, many years ago, when the Kollel first opened, it was really an issue, is that there are people who are in the process of converting. They're not Jewish yet. The day before the conversion, they may feel very Jewish, but they're still not Jewish. And they want to keep the Shabbos is not an issue. You can have a Gentile over on Shabbos, but on Yontif the Gemara says it's a serious thing. It's Shema Yarbe Bishvilo. It's not just I'll only serve them cold food. I'll just serve them sandwiches. No, you're not allowed to have a Gentile over the house on Yontif. The Gemara says. And so I worked out with him that if they, someone who's like living with you, who's like someone let's say a nurse that's taking care of a newborn or someone who's hired for you, that person can eat food that you cook on Yom Tov. They're part of your household. Okay. Just as a Kohen's Miknas Kaspo can eat his Truma, so too the people who are in your home, in your household, that way can eat what you make on Yom Tov. So hopefully that answers your question. So what do we do with the converts who are not yet converted? They're not allowed to go to a Seder? You can't have them on Rosh Hashanah? What are they supposed to do on all these Yomim Tovim? I usually use this as an excuse to tell the Beis Din, listen, before Rosh Hashanah, it's before Pesach, please, let's just finish the process for them and take them. So usually the week before Pesach, a lot of people are converting. So Lamaisa, what we've done is we have said that the people who are in the program should volunteer to be like help. You know, whatever's done in the kitchen. I know some people don't like so many people in the kitchen, especially if you have one of these small Manhattan kitchens, you know. So, right, Howard, you've seen our kitchen on Pesach. We don't want too many cooks in that kitchen, right? It's a small kitchen. So, all right, but if it's someone is in the process of converting, and we've had you know, at our Seder, we've had people who haven't yet converted, so, and they help out.
Yeah, but are you saying that we can't on Yom Tov if you have a goy in the house? Not even in the house. They come to visit. You have an event, whatever it is, and a goy happens to be there. You're not allowed to. They can't eat the food there.
Well, look, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says Shema Yarbe Bishvilo. You can't have them because it says in the Torah, Ach Asher Yochel Lochem Lechol Nefesh. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but lochem velo legoyim, says in Mechilta and the Gemara. So that's that.
So what do you do in a case, you know, sometimes they have some events, even shuls, where they send people over to Yom Tov. You find out that one of the persons brought a girl over as his girlfriend who's not Jewish or something. You say you can't eat, I'm sorry.
Look, what can I say? And it's Yom Tov. That's an issue. If say they come over and it, look, I'm pretty sure the hotels are not mocking on this. You know, they make a certain amount of food and then whatever's left over, I don't know. They're cooking the same amount no matter how many people come.
Right? No, but I never heard this. This is actually the first time I'm hearing this. That if there would be someone that was at your house on a Yom Tov that wasn't Jewish.
Okay, stick around. Maybe I'll tell you some other things you've never heard.
Rabbi, can you, in the next week's link or whatever, can you put up that Chazon Ish Tshuva?
You have it.
Oh, it's in.
You send it to Aaron? Oh, to put up the whole tshuva.
I just like it's fascinating. Okay, thank you.
I just have the part of it that where he says that that the this category called
that's enough. That's fine.
It's Chazon Ish Yoredeya Chelek Beis Siman Tetzayin. And you could probably pick it up on Safaria or something like that. I have the Chazon Ish's Chuvis in Shul. Okay. Next time you want, I'll give it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
When I was in law school, so you talk about having people in the process. I was in law school. There's a guy in class with me, and we used to daven mincha in Dr. Louis Henkin's office, Squirrel Racha, right? An international law expert and taught at Columbia Law School. And so one day we go off there for mikva, and there were 10 guys. Said, okay, we have a minyan. And all of a sudden, this kid who had been coming every day to minyan, I mean, every day. Well, no, you don't. Swimming, no, we don't. I'm not converted yet. I felt so bad for him. He had been under the red. Nobody, not an inkling, none of us knew, you know?
Is there any point in me telling you the joke about the two guys who have a chavrusa for 30 years? And then one of them says, you know, I never had you over for Yom Tov. How about if you come over? He goes, no, I can't come over because I'm not Jewish. What does it mean you're not Jewish? We're learning Torah. We learned Shas 3 times together. You're not Jewish? He goes, yeah, I never converted. My mother's not Jewish, and I never converted. He goes, what are you talking about? You behaved frum for all these years. And what about Shabbos? Don't you know that you're not supposed to keep Shabbos? He goes, well, I actually don't keep Shabbos. He goes, what do you mean you don't keep Shabbos? Yeah, I carry my talis to shul every Shabbos. He goes, what are you talking about? There's an Erev in town. So he goes, yeah, I don't hold from that. So that's his story on Shabbos.
By the way, Rabbi, going back to that thing about the goy, what about a kiddush and shul on Yom Tov? Can a goy eat there?
So that might be different because Shema Yarbe Bishvilo applies in your household where you could go up to the stove and then add another egg or put in another knedel. But in the kiddush and shul, it's all, you know, I don't know. I don't tell Ignacio that you can't take a piece of something. I don't tell him that. He's working for the shul, but that goes back to what I said before.
No, but that's someone working. But I'm saying you could have someone who comes to shul who's not Jewish who goes to the kiddush. You may have to announce anyone not Jewish can't eat.
No, but you're not preparing it for them.
Yeah.
No, but you won't. But that's not the point, Aaron. You the rabbi said, if I'm in my house and I'm preparing food,
you know, the
for
shul
everybody,
is like the hotel.
There's one goy there, they're not allowed to eat.
The shul is like the hotel. I assure you, the hotels that prepare food on Shabbos, the frumest hotels in Bnei Brak, and they have plenty of them. They have Arabs working there, running the boilers and running the generators. They're eating the food from the hotel because they're in the hotel, a shul, a big organization. So it's they're cooking the whole thing for everything, no matter how many people there are, and that's not the issue. The issue is in your house.
And then some.
Okay, page 6.
So question now,
page 6, as Aaron pointed out. I'm sorry, did someone have a question?
Rabbi Schwartz, I have a question. Is there a halacha on Shabbat that if you prepare the food, you cannot eat from the leftovers? And I don't believe that people are, and if there is, I don't think that people are mocking about that. And if there
I don't know. I never heard such a halacha. What do you mean you can't eat from the leftovers? What does that mean?
Yeah, if you cook them yourself, that it's that only people who didn't cook the food can eat from the leftovers, but you yourself cooked it, you can't eat from the leftovers.
I never heard this. You mean they cooked it on Shabbos?
No, before Shabbat.
No, I never heard this. I don't know this. I don't know.
If you cooked it on Shabbos, you can't eat it from the beginning.
Oh, I know. So that's a different thing. Okay. Now, as Aaron pointed out in the beginning, Mitzvah Yud Gimel, that the Sefer HaChinuch lists the mitzvah, right? Lists the mitzvah in a different way. Well, it's like what we said in Rashi and Onkelos. Shelo na'achil mina Pesach li Yisrael mishuman. We may not. So the Torah, according to this, the mitzvah is addressed taka to the Jew. Don't give the Korban Pesach to a Jew who made his ways nechar. It's not carried.
Right, and he says mishumad, which has a very particular meaning.
Right, mishumad was the apostate, the hamaras das, as opposed to just a mumer, because there are 3 different types of mumer in the Gemara. Mumer l'teyavon, because it just gives him joy to do what he does. 2, mumer l'hachis, that's a real zhlov, that's a bad guy. He just... For him, you know, it's the same whether he has this food or that food, but he wants to have the iser. Having something forbidden gives him more pleasure, right? So it sounds like Amnon, who could have any, he's the next king of Israel, he could have every woman in Israel, and who does he fall in love with? His sister, right? So that's a mumer l'hachis. And then there's what's called a mumer l'chol haTorah kulo, someone who's a mumer for everything. That's hamaras das, that's the mishumad, okay? All right, so let's see what the Chinuch says. Let's see number, it says number 1. Lashon haRambam sham ben nechor ha'amur b'Torah ze ha'oved el nechor. Okay, there you go. He says that he's someone who worships avodah zarah. V'chein kasav b'tchila ha'machil pesach l'mumer la'avodah zarah. V'chein hu lashon haRambam machaber mumer la'avodah zarah. Okay, there you have it.
Does that mean, in theory, that if they were if they apostated to a different religion, but it wasn't technically avodah zarah, they could eat it? Like, Islam, for example.
Right, so a Jew who converts to Islam would still be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, according to this, because he's not a Mumin L'Avodah Zarah. Now, a Jew who officially converts to Islam, I think that you do that just by saying something. You say God, Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet or something like that. I don't know.
Right? Yom Tov Tzvi. Can he eat the Korban Pesach?
So the Minchas Chinuch says, Mikol Makom, Ani Misupak. I don't know. Where did he get this? Im Hudafka She'oved Avodah Zarah. When it comes to who can do shechita and who can't do shechita, because a Gentile who does shechita makes it nevela, right? So he's wondering why the Chinuch and the Rambam are so sure that the Ben Nechor that Uncle is described and Rashi described in the Mechilta and the Gemara and Pesachim is Dafka Mumin L'Avodah Zarah. And I think what Rabbi said early on, he felt it right away. I saw his objection and I was going to tell him, wait till page six, is that someone who openly violates Shabbos today or any time is still different than a Jew who openly worships Avodah Zarah. Violating Shabbos is, you know, even though the Gemara in Chulin equates the two, this question about not eating the Korban Pesach, by the Stimas HaRambam, it seems that a Mechal Shabbos before Hesya can eat the Korban Pesach. Right?
This is how the Aselah Minyan got started or whatever, you know, that people would go to work on Shabbos after Minyan.
Yes, that's why they have the whole Lashkoma Minyan in the... Where I grew up in the Bronx, it was at 6:30 in the morning because they had to be at work early, right? So and they wanted to be in shul. They made kiddush, right? So that's a fascinating concept in itself. But that's the first suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. Now he about paragraph. I'm just I don't want to be rushed towards the end, but you see where it says Menachos Kuf Tesem at Aleph. You see, it says Kohanim Sheshimshu LeDavar Acher Lo Yishemshu BeMikdash. What's he talking about? Is that any Kohen who ever, any time in his life, served in an idolatrous temple, may never again serve in the Beis Hamikdash? There's no tshuva for that. Okay, remember that Daf Kuf Tes and Menachos. It talks about the Beis Chonyo. Anybody remember Beis Chonyo, the temple that the Jews built in Egypt? Shimon HaTzadik's son, Chonyo. Anyway, Ayin Sham, the very end of Maseches Menachos. Okay. So any Kohen who served in Beis Chonyo, you can't go back to serving them in the Beis HaMikdash.
So when you say serve, you mean serve. If someone happens to be a Kohen who's a janitor, whose part of his job was to clean.
I'm talking about he brought up incense and he offered sacrifices and, you know, he did the Kohen.
Right, okay.
So, for sure. I'm going to break in from the Chinuch to a fascinating Taz.
By the way, though, Rabbi, that the first thing we were talking about contradicts what you just said now. The first thing is where the king was eight years old and he changed everything around. It was clear that there were Kohanim that did, you know, serve idolatry and stuff like that.
I don't know why you're so clear. It could very well be that the people who actually slaughtered these Korban Pesachs were Kohanim who didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Prove to me otherwise. That story is not talking about who gets to serve and do make the Korban Pesachs. That story teaches that people who had worshipped Avodah Zarah can eat the Korban Pesach. Even though they were just members of Avodah Zarah recently.
Serving Avodah Zarah and being a Kohen to Avodah Zarah are two different things.
Yeah. Plus, you were talking about whether you can go back to serving in the Beis HaMikdash or whether you can just eat the Korban Pesach. Those are two very different things.
Yeah, I think actually if you look at that, wasn't the Kohen Gadol in those days, wasn't he first?
You're conflating two different things, Robbie. You're conflating the story in Divrei Hayamim with the Kohen Gadol and Sefer Zechariah, yeah, who was wearing the putrid clothes in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah, whose sons were intermarried. You're right. That was a bad scene. But here we're talking about. I mean, the raya I brought from Divrei Hayamim is not so much who gets to serve in the temple, who gets to eat the Korban Pesach. That's our mitzvah here. That's what we're talking about. Okay, for that there could be tshuva. And here, let me hear this out. There's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that says, listen carefully to this. Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kehilchasa, hence the name of the book, Shmira Shabbos Kehilchasa. Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kehilchasa, Afilu Oved Avodazara Kedor Enosh, Mochlin Lo Alavonosav. That's it. It's a Gemara in Kol Kisvei in Maseches Shabbos. So the Taz opens up his Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos in Or Chaim, and he says, what kind of Gemara is this? What's he talking about? Is the guy that it's talking about currently worshiping Avodah Zarah? It says Oved. That's impossible. How can observance of Shabbos be a kapara for Avodah Zarah? Only one thing can be a kapara for Avodah Zarah. Tshuva for Avodah Zarah. Not keeping Shabbos. Although they're similar in scope, that the Gemara in Chulin considers violation of each of those two Averos tantamount to violating the Kol HaTorah Kula. Fair enough. But they both go to the core of our belief systems. But how can the Gemara say if you keep Shabbos, then you're forgiven for Avodah Zarah? No. We're not talking about someone who is currently worshiping Avodah Zarah. We're talking about someone who in the past worshipped Avodah Zarah and is trying to do tshuva for that. The Gemara at the end of Cholin and the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Shavuos says that if you ever worshipped Avodah Zarah, b'mezid, on purpose, you are not forgiven in your lifetime for that. Only with Misa are you forgiven for worshipping Avodah Zarah. So comes the Taz to say, I have a chiddush. Comes this Gemara in Maseches Shabbos to say that if someone did worship Avodah Zarah, b'mezid, there is kapara. Shmira Shabbos Kiyochasa.
Wow.
Because they both go to the core of our belief systems. So,
and because Shmira Shabbos is the oath that Hashem created the world and not some other God.
Right. So then that comes full circle. Then we could work on the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that says that if you do tshuva me'ava, Zdonos Nasa Kishuyos. So now this guy is going to be fine. All right, let's go to number two. Okay. Achar Zman Ra'isi Beturei Evan Chagiga Daf Adal Damed Beis. Right? Dibra Mascha Rabbi Akiva Pilpel Umevid Miloshon Harambam Hilchos Korban Pesach Mevuar Dafka Mumer Lavodizara Vigamatos Vachim Shebesi. So he says, I found in the Turei Evan that it's Bedafka, a Mumer Lavodah Zarah that can't eat the Korban Pesach. The Rambam should be taken literally. And the Sefer HaChinuch.
Who's the Turei Evan?
Turei Evan is the same author as the Shagis Aryeh.
Ah, okay.
And he's also has a parish called Avnei Miluim.
Got it.
Okay. On various Masechtas.
Okay.
Okay. Kiveger quotes the Turei Evan very often in Meskilioni Ashas. Okay, so Achar Zeh Kosav, the Rabbi Meir Bechoros, the Mumer L'Dover Echad, Habe Mumer L'Chol HaTorah, Mumer L'Dover Echad, Gam Kein Bechlal, Ayin Sham, Im Kein L'Didan, Mumer L'Chol HaShabbosos, Dechulei Alma Modim, De Habe Mumer L'Chol HaTorah, Habe Mumer Af L'Inyan Pesach, V'Tzarech Iyun, V'Yavor L'Kamen L'Inyan Avoda. So, all right, it's just he raises these two sides again by bringing up this other Sefer that it's not quite clear whether the Rambam would want to elaborate and go from Mumer L'Avodah Zarah to Mumer L'Shabbos. It would appear that based on things that the Rambam writes elsewhere, such as Hilchos Shigagos or Hilchos Korban Pesach, Hilchos Maaseh Korbanos, that the Rambam would admit that someone who openly violates Shabbos would be included in this violation, not to give him the Korban Pesach. However, the four tshuvas we learned before might undo that also today. Right? Okay. And I know growing up, we always had at my Seder holy Mechalisha. We always had people who were, you know, quite
lahav. I don't know what the Haggadah means about Russia. If it cannot mean the most expansive version of Mumer, because the whole point of the Seder is they were bringing everybody in.
And Lafisha would see it. That's moment of cloud. Come on, Kafar Bikar. It says there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, let me put it this way: if it means the expansive version, then every family's in trouble. Almost.
Yes.
I don't know about everyone, but many of them are.
Right. But Hamaras Das and Meshumet probably doesn't want to go to the Seder.
Right.
What he wants from a Seder.
I'm talking about the Stam Russia, though. You should garden variety Russia.
Yeah, of course.
Garden variety Russia.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Russia with a good heart.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a look at number five, please. Right? Number four says that if he wants to do tshuva, right, and anyone, any mumer can do tshuva. Okay, what is that? Just say, I turned my back on that behavior. Now I can eat the Korban Pesach. All right? There is a Gemara that says, if a man says to a woman, Harei et mekudeshes le'amanas shani tzadik, mekudeshes. Right? How can you be mekudeshes? The Beis Shmuel asks in Halacha and Evna Ezer, what if he has ben adam l'chaveru to atone for? Right? What if he has stolen money in his possession? How can you say mekudeshes? Maybe he did tshuva. Because as soon as you say, I want to do tshuva, you're about tshuva. That's all you have to say. Right? Now go do something about it. Right? You're on your way. As far as eating the Korban Pesach, just say, all right, I'm not going to worship Ozar anymore. I'm ready to go. Okay? So number five is, V'hinei belav hazeh kan amachil. I'm sorry?
Use that to explain the incident with, I forget which one of the Asara who gave an alchus, where the guy jumps into the fire immediately.
Yeah.
The executioner.
Chanina
ben Tradyon.
Right. Rav said, yeah. He used that Gemara, that concept to say, yes, the second that he did that, he's on the Talich to Tshuva, and therefore you're in the Olam Haba.
Right. It's called Yesh Kona Olamo.
Yeah.
And the reason why Shah Achas, right. And that's why Rebbe cried. He says, right, well, it seems right to me that if you can purchase your Olam Haba, your Olamo in 1 hour, you can possibly lose it in 1 hour. Right? Everything always has a flip side, right? Okay, so Vinei Balav Hazen, number five. Kan Dem Hamacha Muzhar Matsinu Kiyotze Bo Biyavamus De Osu L'Ha'achil Biyadayim Dabar Isu L'Katon Mishum Lo Tochlum. Lo tachilum. Okay. All right. So the question is, do you get malchus for giving the Korban Pesach to an idolater, a Jewish idolater? Do you get malchus? And the Rambam says no. You see, I underlined a line there. It says, Ayein b'kan b'kesef Mishnah. Because of the Tama Rambam, kiven de lo ksiv behedja lo tachilum, al kein ein oloke ayin sham. In kein gabi machil lekoton, de gam kein lo ksiv behedja lo tachilum, gam kein ein oloke. So that's a little different. A koton, a 10-year-old, doesn't have a din of keeping kosher for anything except the chinuch and the mitzvah of his parents to mechanech. Right, so, but we're not allowed to be a dayim, give a iser to a pre-bar bas mitzvah child. But here, this mumer, this mishumud, this hamoras das, he wants a piece of meat. He wants some food. It's a nice, you know, it's lamb. It's probably very tasty. It's roasted, for goodness sakes, right? So what avera am I doing if I give it to him? Yeah, but you're violating the mitzvah number 13. But you don't get malchus. It's a lav sheyesh b'maaseh, that's for sure. The Rambam makes a chiddush here. He says that you don't get malchus because the pasuk doesn't actually say what this whole mitzvah is about.
It's directed to the Ben Necher. Kol Ben Necher lo yochol. Now it doesn't say don't feed the Ben Necher.
Correct. There you go. Now we're gonna still insist that the Ben Necher is a Jew who's turned away from the Torah because the Torah is not in the habit of telling Gentiles what to do.
Right, but if
does the Ben Necher get Malkus for eating?
Antietam Michal, if you give it to the Ben Nechar to eat.
Ah, that's it. That's it. It's a Naibelositain Michal. But you don't get Malkus for that. But so that's what it is. That's what all the postkim say, is that what your problem is, and the Fneiver can even apply to a Gentile. If you give a Gentile Aver Minachai, right, then you're over on the Fneiver.
But if the Ben Nechar is a Jew, he wouldn't get Malkus for being over the loav of Kol Ben Necher Lo Yecholba, or is it because
he includes
more than a Jew? It's a loav shebecholos or whatever. You don't get Malkus for that.
He says he says that the Ben Necher himself would get Malkus.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. It's not considered like a loav shebecholos though, because it includes more than just the Jew.
So. Let's imagine I have to see that. I want to compare this. If I put kilayim on you, who gets the malchus? I take a kilayim garment and I just put it. You're just standing there and I put it on you. Who gets
the malchus? For me, it's a sheval taisa, right?
Hamalbish chaveiro kilayim loke hamalbish. Because it says there's a drash that makes it. The question is, can you give malchus to someone where the iser, even though it's expressed this way, is not listed that way in the Torah? Right?
Right.
So let's take a quick look at number 6, where it says, V'loshen HaRambam kan ha-ma'achil kizayis mi-pesach l'mumr l'avodizara over b'losase v'adai kein ha-davar kimo b'chol yisurei achila sh'tzarech kizayis, right? B'prat b'kosav l'shon achila. But I'm not eating. But it's still mashma that it's a new inyan. Yeah, okay. That's the schema. Schema's Kain Eino Lokeh, because the whole essence of how this mitzvah is phrased comes from something that doesn't emerge from directly from the pasuk. So it's the shinui comes because of it's just too strange that the Torah is telling a Gentile what to do. So it's the mitzvah goes on us. And the Ben Nechar has two different mashma'uyos. Ein mikra tzimidei pshuto, it's talking about a Gentile also. But it's also talking about a Jew who's behaving like a Gentile. And we spent much of this time defining what that behavior is, right? And
but it's a law for which you wouldn't get Malkus because of that.
Yes, yes. In fact, you look at number 7, it says, V'ein bo Malkus l'fi shein bo maaseh.
Right. But for whom? The
ma'achil.
Right, but I thought he was over on Lo Titen.
He's on over on Lifnei Evi Lo Titen Michal, yes, but right. He doesn't get malbish.
But, you know, in the malbish situation, the person who allows himself to be clothed, he should be over on Lo Titen.
But it's a lot of shame by myself.
I understand, but he is enabling the malbish to be over.
Yeah, but he doesn't get Malkus.
No, he can, but he also is committed an Easter.
Yes, you know what? I'll tell you what's a sugi in Malkus that's a little like this is the guy who's shaving and the guy being shaved. You remember that? Where he pushes his face, he moves his face closer, so he's Messiah. So the guy being shaved can also be like a little bit of a Maisa to getting Malkus for it. Okay, so he's number 7. It says, Be'emes Barambam Einam Avor Tamzeh. About that this is a lav shein b'maisav. Akesef Mishnah, no sam tam kimo shehevenu l'mala. That was before we said why it doesn't get malchus. What do you mean? He gave him food. He's a maase. He puts his hand in. If he hadn't done it, the guy wouldn't be eating it. Why is that not a maase? Why doesn't he get malchus? Even if you just put it in front of him, gam ken chashiv maase. All right. Who's forcing you to eat? I'm not holding you down and putting it in your mouth. I'm just giving it to you. The eating is your decision. Okay, that might explain why there's no. Okay. All right, take a look at where it says Yud Aleph.
What happens if he doesn't know what he's eating?
Then that's totally lifnei iver. Yeah, that's. Then,
you put something down. So I you come to my house. I put something down for you. You don't know what it is.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I forgot to tell you a couple of times.
What? I just got kale and salmon. What are you talking about?
That's what you thought.
What were those? Remember those yellow square? What were those things? I don't know what
shrimp.
Those things
were. They were shrimp.
Okay, Rob, you want to say the names?
Yeah, okay. Yitzhak Yosef and Dina Yocheved.
I heard he was in shul last week.
Okay. That's good. That's a good story.
I heard he's doing better, B'liah and Hara.
Robbie's prayers are working.
And the schus of Robbie's
No,
it's the schus of our learning.
Okay. Yeah. Yitzhak Leib ben Yosef, Avram Abba ben Shendel, Reuven ben Malka, Ari Daniel ben Malka Gittel, Rachel bas Lulu, Aaron ben Pesel Henna, Yaakov ben Chaya, Esther Mindel bat Gittel Miriam, Moshe Kahn ben Miriam Rus, Yisrael ben Sarah Esther, and there's one more here, Moshe Shmuel ben Freda.
Anybody else? We'll also add for an Ilun Neshama for the Rebbetzin's grandmother, whose yahrzeit was today, Chaya Esther Feger bas Mordechai. And
Neshama should have an Aliyah.
Neshama should have Aliyah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody, all their names for that.
Thank you very much.
Bezer Hashem, we'll do Mitzvah Yudalad next week, and we're right along. Stay safe, everybody.
Okay. Be well, everyone.
Everybody.
Take care.
Aaron, I was listening a little to your daf today. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Rabbi, can you stay on for 1 second? I have one thing I need to tell you.
Sure.
By the way, Aaron, I see you're in a different room this week. Did you get thrown out of the other room?
Nate's room. This is Nate's room. Yeah, Jill's in another room. I don't want to, want to bother each other. Yes. Okay.
Aaron, yes?
Yeah, so I have a, actually, you know what I'll do? I'll call you separately. I have a shidduch thing I need to tell you about.
Is David Schoen really Trump's lawyer? Is that?
That's our David Schoen. He met his wife at our Shabbos table. Yes.
Wow.
He appears with the yarmulke on. He's wearing a yarmulke.
I saw that in the picture, but.
Wow. Where does he live now?
He's in Atlanta. I stayed at his house recently when I was still in residence there.
Wow. Oi, okay. All right. I'll call you back, Rabbi.
Remember him, Aaron?
How long ago was this?
Must be 25 years ago that he moved away.
Oh, is it that long since he's been here?
That's maybe. Just
could be.
His oldest kid is 23, but I think after they got married, they moved to Washington D.C. I think, and then
I don't remember him. I know the name, and I probably saw him or met him a couple of times, but I didn't really know him. I don't know.
Yeah, he was so far from Yiddishkeit that no one in college knew he was Jewish. And he came to New York, and it was just we just collared him and made him come to a Shabbos. Remember, we used to have the beginner's minion, and just really caught on so quickly, and married a rabbi's daughter, and just his kids are really Talmidei Chachamim. It's really
wow.
They're all, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. Okay.